Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Jim Moseley. Jim's the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And joining us in our conversation is Todd Ramsey. Well, Jim, could you tell us about the President's food and agricultural policy?
Well, that's a question that is somewhat difficult to answer because of the breadth and the scope of agriculture. And when you get into the issue of policy across all of agriculture, we don't have enough time. But I can say that, generally speaking, this president and this administration wants to make sure that, as we have in the past, that we have an abundant supply of healthy food for the American people. And it's one of those things that, quite frankly, in this country, we have never faced famine and starvation. We have individuals within the country who have faced hunger, clearly. And, of course, we have our food stamp programs and women, infants, and children program to address those issues. But in terms of the entire country, ever having to face the issue of starvation and hunger, we've never had to do that. And we don't intend to ever have to do that. We're abundant in natural resources. Our ability to produce far exceeds the capacity of our people to consume. So we want to make sure that we produce enough. We also want to make sure that that food, when it goes to the consumer, is healthy and it's safe to eat. So that's really is the overall framework for the department, because I've gone through some of the other issues that we have in the department, some of the things that we do. I would also make the comment that this president in particular really believes in letting the market work. And the market is a powerful indicator of what the needs of people are. And it will tell us what the demand for any particular product is. And then we respond to that demand by producing and filling the supply side of that equation. At the same time, with agriculture, and we probably ought to talk about that at some point here, it is an industry that can be challenged very easily by one important factor, and that's Mother Nature and the weather. And we can overproduce for a period of time, and we can underproduce for a period of time. And we feel strongly that there needs to be some protective mechanism for those people out there on the land that, they're not large business, and their capacity to withstand challenging times, disasters, is somewhat limited. And so we feel strongly at the department, and President Bush has been clear that we need to help people, farmers, ranchers, in need. And so it's a mainstay of our policy. We are looking at expanding in a significant way insurance programs, for example, risk management programs that farmers can participate in to try and share that risk with someone else, with others in the marketplace. But I can go on. Obviously, when you talk about the mission of the department, it's very broad, but in very condensed terms, it really is about producing food for people, it's about protecting natural resources, and it's about making sure that the people that are involved in the agricultural arena are taken care of when those disasters hit us.
You mentioned that the events of 9/11 led to some major changes within the department. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you're dealing with potential threats to our food supply?
We have come to a much different level of sensitivity on this whole issue. We are now understanding, and we are talking far more openly about the potential for terrorist attack in this country. And as a result of our activities since then, weapons of mass destruction and so forth, looking at the biological side of this whole equation. And when we start doing that, and even the chemical side of the equation as well, when we start doing that, it starts to focus us on the food and production agricultural part of our responsibility. And so we have had a significant effort. In fact, I commonly will say I spend 80% of my time on Homeland Security, the other 80% of my time on everything else. But we have made a significant commitment within the department to step forward and make sure that we, in every opportunity we can, to try and prevent a circumstance from occurring. But if we can't prevent it, then we have to be able to respond to it very quickly. And then, of course, if it does get working out there. Biological material gets into, for example, the food supply or into livestock production. We need to be able to recover from that. So we've gone through a fairly long list of activities in that regard. We realized, for example, that we had to change the way we handled our testing and our biological materials. We had to make sure that they were safe, that the people that were actually doing that were who they say they were. So we've increased people security within the department dramatically, doing background checks, for example, those people that work close to those kinds of materials. We've had to increase our lab capacity. We did not have enough, and we did not have redundancy. If we had something that would happen and we had a lab that was disabled, it was a problem for us. And so we've increased our lab redundancy across the country. And we've done that in cooperation, collaboration with the state departments of agriculture and also with the land-grant institutions. We've moved forward in a significant way to understand that it truly is a partnership that has to happen. And I think that's the one of the positive things that we can talk about as a result of 9/11, that it is really within the entire country help us to recognize that no one institution is going to be able to do it. And so it's not just the federal partner that can protect. It's the federal and the state and the local, and it's also the private sector. And, of course, we have a number of access and entry points that we would be concerned about to agriculture, and they're not within the public sector. They're in the private sector. So we've worked with all of those people, had them into my office. We've sat down. We've discussed what the vulnerabilities are. We've looked at ways to close those vulnerabilities just to make sure that we're preventing the opportunity as much as we possibly can. And when you look at that matrix and the magnitude of the number of opportunities, you begin to become overwhelmed with it and realize that you can never fill every potential opportunity, and therefore you have to be ready and able to respond, and to respond immediately. And as I mentioned earlier, we believe that that's probably the best deterrent that we have. If a terrorist out there knows that they're going to try and fail, they won't try because they have limited resources and they won't use them. And so we've been approaching it from that viewpoint.
You mentioned a couple times the efforts to keep Americans fed, like the school lunch program or the food stamp program. What are the challenges facing these programs?
Probably the participation rate and making sure that we have the right people. I've been out on the ground and participated in some of the activities in school lunch program, for example, and we're not getting all the children in that program that really need to be there. On the other hand, we have some in there that shouldn't be. And so one of our major challenges is making sure that our system allows us to very accurately determine who's eligible and who's not. Because we don't want, this is one thing in this country we should never allow, is somebody that's hungry and in need. With the vast quantity of food that we have, we don't want somebody that's going without food. And so I think the biggest challenge we have is just making sure we have the right participants in that program. There's some other challenges, obviously, beyond that. But the Congress and this administration, the president, has been very forthcoming in that philosophy that we have the food and we're going to feed people. And we're going to assist them with nutrition and making sure that they have adequate nutrition. One of the issues that we are beginning to face is we've done such a good job that obesity is beginning to come up as a regular issue. And we have a number of Americans that are very close to being obese. And, of course, I think the current number is some 40% of Americans are obese. And there again, it's a matter of understanding food, nutrition, food intake, exercise, and so forth. So within Food Nutrition Service, they're looking at the broad range all the way from making sure that those people that simply don't have access to adequate food get it, to the side of it and making sure that individuals who are eating too much or eating the wrong kinds of foods, in many cases that's the issue, learn about good nutrition and try to avoid falling into that obese category, because clearly it becomes a major public health issue, and it's one that can cost the health care industry side of it, and looking at it because of the potential cost that obesity brings to the table.
I've read where the Department of Agriculture has been involved in the rebuilding efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. You know, the war in any country is not won until you've stabilized the country. And Americans have a long history of doing that. And, of course, we had to try to find Osama bin Laden. He was in Afghanistan. And we went in and made sure that he no longer had that safe haven. In order to do that, of course, we had to take some fairly strong measures with the leadership in that country. We can't walk away from then the country without leadership. And even though that was the wrong leadership, you still have to have it. And so we've been very committed to President Karzai and the current administration that's there, trying to help the Afghan people come back to really a time before the Soviet invasion of that country years ago, when Afghanistan was a fairly productive and moderately wealthy nation. The Afghan people are very entrepreneurial. They understand producing. They understand the value of wealth generation and what it can mean. And so you have some things working for you in terms of rebuilding the economy of that country. 80% of that country, though, of the people in the country, are dependent upon agriculture. And that's the reason why USDA is there. And we're trying to make sure that we help at the technical level of rebuilding the agricultural component. Major problem there is that the country, of course, is dry. And so they're very dependent upon irrigation resources. And since the Soviet invasion, those resources have received no maintenance. And in fact, a lot of the productive irrigated land was mined by the Soviets, and so it took it completely out of production. We've been very aggressive at the demining component of that, but at the same time, we had to and are in the process of helping rebuild the irrigation infrastructure. Because if you don't have water, you don't produce. And I had the Minister of Irrigation from Afghanistan in my office the other day, and wonderful, bright gentleman, spoke fluent English, was trained in the United States, understands the issues there, and was pleading for help. And really, and we weren't talking about huge quantities of dollars. We were talking about people. And, of course, we're going to do everything we can to try and help, and it's technical assistance to them. So we're looking at a variety of things. We are helping with some money. We're looking at trying to improve the education outreach. Instead of going out and trying to do it ourselves, we're looking at training the Afghans to do it. It's the concept of, you know, give a man a fish or teach him how to fish. And we're trying to teach how to fish there. So we're working to reestablish the University of Kabul and the agricultural school there. My alma mater, Purdue University, is one of the institutions of higher learning that's involved in that activity, and I'm very proud of that fact. The Afghan country will never be completely self-sufficient, likely, in food, but they can go substantially in that direction. And, of course, that's, as I pointed out earlier, we don't know in this country what it's like to not have food. The Afghans do, and they're very committed to making sure that that doesn't happen and that they have adequate food and that they can produce it themselves where they have the capacity. And quite frankly, they have tremendous capacity there that's just simply not being used. So we're there helping them, working with them, and trying to make sure that they move successfully forward in the right direction. We're also in Iraq. Iraq was in better condition agriculturally. There's some things that need to be done, clearly, reestablishing the Ministry of Agriculture. And we have presence there trying to help do that.
That's a good point, especially in regards to stability. How's the Department of Agriculture handling the issues called out by the President's management agenda? We'll ask Jim Mosley to tell us about this when the Business of Government Hour returns.